This episode of The Podcats is sponsored by George Barrett, Simonon Realtors. George Barrett is a Cats fan with his finger on the pulse of Louisville real estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing, call George Barrett with Simonon Realtors to start your journey. Find him online at KentuckyTeamRealtors.com.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. C-A-T-S, champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Going blue!
C-A-T-S, K-K-K.
Go Cats there.
Let's go.
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
Welcome into the latest edition of the Podcats. I'm Kenny Colston. Alongside me, as always, Chris Littrell.
I'm here.
Sorry, got a little tongue-tied there. That's not the greatest way to start this.
A very drunken podcast.
Yeah, well, Cats. We're not going to go there. But anyways, we're here. We're here for another week. We want to shout out George Barrett for Simonon Realty for sponsoring the podcast. Really appreciate
that. Thank you, George.
If you have not
bought a house from George yet, please do so.
There you go. I was going to say subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, but that applies as well. So anyways, we've got kind of a loaded thing here. We're getting at the point of the football schedule where the team just absolutely sucks. So
right.
What are we going to do? Alabama State's next. If that's not a victory.
Basketball looming on the horizon.
That's right. We've got we're taping this on Tuesday, just public disclosure here. So anyways, we're not going to talk about the blue-white scrimmage because, one, it's a scrimmage, and, two, we're taping on Tuesday, and it has not yet come yet. So right. We're just putting that out there for all of you loyal listeners of the podcasts. But let's talk about football. It seems like eons ago that we actually had the game against Mississippi State because it was a Thursday night game. But we had that game. Probably the closest thing we're going to come to into an upset victory in the SEC this year. Do you agree or disagree? I mean, 6 points, had a chance to win in the final minutes, couldn't execute it.
Yeah. On the road, which is always tough, but it just came down to the same stuff as, all year long. Bad tackling, offense looks inept,
And we talked about this. This is really a talent thing. I mean, there are a few good players on it. Raymond Sanders, JoJo Kemp, yeah. Ryan Timmons. There's a couple of other wide receivers that are young or new that have promise, but generally the offense is just not good.
And quarterback issues, which I'm sure we will get into that as we go on. But yeah, just defensively, from linebackers to corners and safeties, tackling problems. I mean, I saw some plays in that game that I had to rewind 3 or 4 times just to watch the form on the tackling. It was just horrible. I mean, it's the stuff that I would have to think that Stoops, when he's watching the film, it has to drive him completely insane.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone from just being upset / annoyed to absolutely almost irate at his press conferences. I mean, he's not throwing the players under the bus, but at the same time, he's kind of like, this is simple. This is peewee level stuff.
Yes.
I mean, wrapping someone up, the secondary has a lot of issues. We've talked about this. I mean, we were wholly optimistic at the beginning of football season. Now, I don't know. Outside of Alabama State, I'm not going to forecast another win.
I'm not going to even give them that one.
Well, Alabama State is a top 10 school in the championship series, which it used to be 1AA.
Right.
So, but I would think this team is talented enough to beat Alabama State.
One would hope. But I'm still not going to count my eggs before they hatch or whatever.
Well, let's talk about those quarterbacks. I think definitively we found one thing out, at least one thing out, against the game against Mississippi State, and that would be that Max Smith is not the quarterback of the present nor the future.
You are correct.
I thought Max Smith had the chance. I mean, he was a very efficient player. He was an upgrade over Morgan Newton, who was very erratic. He seemed to be an upgrade even over Hartline.
Right.
And who made was more of a game manager. You never exactly. really thought yeah, like Hartline was going to win a game for you.
A don't make mistakes
exactly.
quarterback.
Max Smith seemed to be more accurate than both of those guys, and he seemed to be able to throw the deep ball. But as we saw Thursday night, he's just not there. He's just not an SEC quarterback. You know, there's currently three sophomores at quarterback right now. You got Max Smith, who took a red shirt because of medical issues last year, Whitlow, and Patrick Toles. I think of those three, someone's going to transfer. And if I had to predict, it's going to be Max Smith because he's already been practically replaced as the backup QB. I mean, Mark Stoops has said this week that Reese Phillips is going to start taking snaps as Jalen Whitlow's backup. Whitlow, who apparently is dealing with an ankle injury, is going to play, Whitlow or Stoops said, no matter what. So it appears Max Smith is going to be the guy out. You know, this whole thing about Toles, we'll get to that in a minute, but Max Smith is not the quarterback of the present. He's not the quarterback of the future. I don't think the air raid offense fits him, for lack of a better term. You got to be able to take shots downfield, and I think right. he's more of a West Coast guy.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And not to get into a completely different discussion, it's something that we've touched on a couple times in previous episodes. You have to just sit back and wonder what was going on with the recruiting in this program for the last two or three
with
years.
Joker Phillips, I mean, who was a great recruiter when he was recruiting coordinator.
When that was his job.
Right, but now as head coach, apparently that dropped off. Now, he wasn't a recruiting coordinator during that time, but appeared to have dropped off. Yeah, there's a lack of talent. I mean, you've heard right. Stoops say that week in and week out. Let's move to our next quarterback issue, which is Jalen Whitlow, who I think Whitlow is a dynamic guy. He brings an element to the team that I'm not sure that any other quarterback on the roster brings, and that his ability to run or to make something right. out of nothing. I mean, we've seen many times this year and last year, it's like 3rd and 13, 4th and 13, and all of a sudden he gets a first down. Now, every pass he throws is a bullet, so that's a problem. But the thing with Whitlow is I don't know if this coaching staff quite knows how to play him yet. The one thing that frustrated me with the Mississippi State game is that you knew what the play call was going to be. If I'm, as an armchair quarterback, can tell you what the play is going to be, it's just too simple. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like Whitlow, who was dealing with an injury, who did not start against Mississippi State, when they brought him in, you almost knew it was going to be a read option. And,
right.
and all year long, it's just been read option, read option, read option with Whitlow. You got to throw the ball with him. If you can't throw the ball, don't play him. That's my point.
Yeah, again, like we talked about before, it would be great if you could have a Max Smith Whitlow combination where you could bring Whitlow in situational.
Well, they try that, but every time they bring him in, it's a read option. You got to throw
right,
with
right,
Whitlow.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I agree, but. Yeah, very one-dimensional. And here's the thing, too. Neil Brown is an air raid guy. He's had to adjust his play calling to adapt to the talent on this
or
team.
Or lack thereof.
Right, right. So we're seeing, you know, we're not seeing the offense that our offensive coordinator runs. And,
right.
and we just don't have it. Behind center this year, and I mean, it's just what it comes down
to. It's a rebuilding project. I think some of us, us especially, were more, me especially, was more optimistic than what the reality has set in this season.
There is
no
doubt about that.
I'm going to continue to watch the football games. I'm not going to completely, but I mean, a 2-10 season is what we're staring at. I mean, any victory outside of Alabama State this year, I would view as an upset.
An absolute upset. Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to abandon the football team, but reality has finally set in. I mean, there was a chance for this team to turn a corner. It was at Mississippi State Thursday night, and they couldn't complete it. I mean, they're within their own 30-yard line. That's when you – I mean, if you're going to be a good squad, you have to convert that. You have to make that score. Game over. You've got an upset victory over a solid but not great SEC team. And Mississippi State, if they played in any other conference, would probably be a lot better than what they're going to be this year.
Oh, probably.
They're a solid team.
Yeah. Remember the excitement at the beginning of this year, and there was some. But
because
it was
of Mark Stoops
it
recruiting.
It was all about the new hire at head coach. And almost you could break that down even further. It wasn't as much about the new hire at head coach as much as it was about getting rid of Joker Phillips.
Amen. Preach.
And but also a lot of excitement about next year's freshmen. I mean, there was nothing, no one was looking forward to the product that was going to be on the field this year. Everyone knew, everyone had to know that this year was going to be a monumental struggle, as it has turned out to be. I don't care, I mean, what kind of record would this team have if Nick Saban was their head coach? What games would they have won? Maybe the other night, maybe a close game like Mississippi State. But what, I mean, my point is, everyone knew what we had this year, what the season was going to be like. All of the excitement around the program was about a new coach and a bunch of new guys that were going to come in next year. The recruiting had been elevated to a higher level, and it really shouldn't be a surprise as far as where we're at right now this season.
I didn't think that when we started this podcast.
We were both very optimistic.
We drank the Kool-Aid. Yeah. We were six in the wins. Kool-Aid. So clearly we're not going to have six wins unless something absolutely turns around. I don't even know. Is there even well, let's count them up. Is there even four games left?
I think there are. Yeah.
So we'd have to win out.
I think we have five games.
I don't think that's going to happen. But anyways, I would like to see progress. I'm seeing progress, not fast enough. I'm impatient. I'll admit that.
The Louisville real estate market is hot, and nobody knows it better than George Barrett at Simonon Realtors. From neighborhood to neighborhood, work with George to buy, sell, or invest in Louisville real estate. He's often considered a premier agent in town and is waiting and ready to solve your real estate problems. Find George Barrett, Simonon Realtors, online at KentuckyTeamRealtors.com. Go Cats!
Last thing I want to talk about, we brought this up earlier, Reese Phillips apparently is going to be the backup. Naturally, this would make people think that Patrick Toles is just absolutely either A, garbage, or B, I have a different tack on that. I'll wait on B. But one is, a lot of people think he's just garbage. He's never going to play, and he'll eventually transfer out of the Kentucky program. Is that a belief you share? Or is that, I mean, that seems to be what everyone, the sports media apparently is saying, that Patrick Toles has been passed up. I have a different take on it. I want to hear yours first.
I really don't have a take on it other than it does surprise me that he has been forgotten to the point that he has, because
4-star recruit when he was recruited.
Yeah. And if he can't crack, you know,
an absolute horrid quarterback situation.
Right.
I mean, the saying goes, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. Kentucky apparently has four quarterbacks, which means they have no quarterbacks.
Right. Right, yeah, it shocks me that he has been, left to the wind as much as he has.
Here's my take on it. Reading the tea leaves, reading what Mark Stoops has said all season, Toles was expecting to come in as a freshman to UK in redshirt with Joker Phillips. That was his apparent expectation. He has asked the coaching staff, apparently, according to Stoops and news reports, for a redshirt season this year. My thought is that Toles is hanging out for a junior-senior campaign. If he redshirts this year, that would put him a year behind both Whitlow and Max Smith, if Max Smith stays, and would apparently give him either his junior year, which would be 2 years if he redshirts, or his senior year, which is 3 years, to play. That is an assumption that Drew Barker doesn't eventually, or Reese Phillips eventually, surpass him on the depth chart.
Yeah, I was going to say, he would have to beat out Drew Barker for the job, which, and you know, it definitely seems at this point that, I mean, Drew Barker, as soon as he steps foot on campus, he's a starting quarterback.
Well, see, I'm in the very, very low minority here. I've watched Drew Barker play one game. I'm going to admit, one game in person. He played South Oldham High School, a school in the area. And while he did very good things, there were things I saw in Drew Barker's game. Now, I'm not a scout, I'm not a coach, so this is just one man's opinion. But I would be shocked. It's extremely, extremely hard to come in as a true freshman and make waves.
Especially in the SEC.
Exactly. So I'm a little skeptical that Drew Barker comes in day one. Maybe Toles is the same way. I think Toles wants a redshirt year. I think the staff is actually being pretty noble in granting him a redshirt year, not playing him in this situation, knowing that they only have a few wins left at best on the schedule, and playing Reese Smith, who is their guy, instead. That's my take on it. I don't know if Toles is garbage. In the spring game this year, he wasn't great, but it's a spring game. The jury's still out for me on Toles. That being said, with Drew Barker, I mean, let's look at two of the most recent great quarterbacks. Johnny Manziel, who Mr. Football, who won the Heisman, redshirted his freshman year.
Right.
And then Jameis Winston, who's with Florida State, he is a redshirt freshman as well. So there's some value to having a redshirt year.
You get a lot of practice.
Yeah, exactly. You learn an offense. This is a new offense for Tolles. I'm not ready to write him off. A lot of people are ready to write Patrick Tolles off. I'm not ready to write him off yet. I actually think he does not transfer because I think he is pretty blue-blooded. I think he's born and raised on it. I could be wrong. He could transfer to an NAI school or a Division II school. But I think he wants that year. I don't think Tolles is under the impression that he's going to start more than 2 years for UK, if that. But you do have Drew Barker, who's going to be an early enrollee. That allows a lot of time for work. The things I saw, he kind of holds the ball like a loaf of bread, what I saw. He made a few bad interceptions in the game I saw. But still, that being said, he's having an enormous year, and he probably still will be Kentucky Mr. Football. So one bad game obviously is not.
Makes you almost wonder if maybe redshirting Drew Barker wouldn't be the smart thing to do.
Possibly. I mean, they're going to have to evaluate where they're at. I mean, if they still have Max Smith, Whitlow, Tolles, and Phillips, Barker would probably benefit from a year. I mean, right. I don't know that his Connor team really runs an air raid offense. It is more complex than people think. It's not a simple – the West Coast offense is a fairly – or pro-style offense is fairly simple. The air raid has a lot of complexities to it. But anyways – quarterback situation has to be figured out. It won't be figured out this year.
Right.
We're at the point where it's done.
I mean, bottom line this year, train wreck.
Yeah. 2-10, that's okay. There's a lot of optimism if the recruiting class stays. All indications are is that it will stay.
I think it will, yeah.
One last thing on football, both Mississippi State and the upcoming Alabama State game. More Ryan Timmons, more Bud Dupree, please.
Yes. I couldn't agree more.
I mean, Timmons is clearly the class of the wide receivers.
JoJo breakaway speed. I mean,
oh, amazing! JoJo Kemp is the future at running back. Although we seem stacked at that.
Yeah, JoJo Kemp, absolutely, get him some touches. But I will say this: Sanders looked great the other night.
He's good. I don't know the coaches, and I'm not. Anytime I say I don't know, the coaches don't know what they're doing. Trust me, they're coaches, and I'm doing a podcast right. for a reason. But I'm not sure if they know how to utilize Sanders. JoJo Kemp seems to be the guy that they like. Raymond Sanders needs to be more involved as well. Running back, I think, is taken care of. It's the rest of the offense that has questions.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get off football. That's what it is. It's 2-10. We will continue to talk about football until they're finished. But it's going to be a 2-10 season. Our optimism, I think, has finally waned.
Yeah, I'm done.
This Mississippi State game was the key. Just to reiterate, the blue-white game is Tuesday night. We are obviously taping on Tuesday night. We're a tape show for all of you all who don't know.
This isn't live.
Yeah, I wish it was, but maybe in the future. Anyways. So we and second of all, it's a scrimmage. I mean, it's just a notch above blue-white. I'll remind you, the leading scorer in last blue-white scrimmage last year, Kyle Wilcher.
There you go.
No longer with the team. So there's not a lot of stock to put into this. But there are a few things I want to watch for. Are there a few things that you're watching for in the scrimmage tonight?
No.
Just like it's a scrimmage, who cares?
Yeah, I'm not going to take anything away from it.
Okay, well, in addition to the scrimmage tonight, they do start their first exhibition at Transy on Friday. So I'm going to lump these two together. The first thing I want to know about this basketball team is who the backup point guard is. There's a lot of questions there for me. I mean, obviously, one Harrison twin is the starting point guard. Who backs him up? Does his brother, who plays shooting guard, back him up? Does Dominique Hawkins back him up? Does Jared Polson back him up? I think that's going to be key because last year Polson was the backup. Harrow was hardly a good starter. It's going to be interesting to see where that plays. I mean, you have a senior who filled in well last year. Does he ride the bench this year?
He very well may ride the bench this year. Was it the Maryland game at the beginning of the year that Polson came in and more or less won that game?
Yeah.
Last year?
I think Maryland was a tournament team.
I think you surround Polson with the kind of talent that he's going to have this year. Compared to what he had last year, and I think he can do okay. I mean, do I want Jared Polson to be our starting point guard, like if we're in the Elite Eight?
No,
absolutely not.
No.
Do I feel confident that Jared Polson can lead this team to some victories in January? Absolutely. I think both Harrison twins can play the point. I read an article, more or less an interview with the twins earlier this week, saying that they both can play the point if need be. And Dominique Hawkins, who knows? Again, I think the one thing between – the difference between this year and last year, I mean, Harrow was – I mean
– he had some issues.
Yeah, he did. And I'll leave it at that.
That's put it in nice.
I'll leave it at that. He had some issues, and he was surrounded by some – I mean, you know, bottom line, this year's talent, last year's talent – two different things. Jared Polson.
So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if Polson has to come in, just throw the lob pass or give it to James Young out on the wing and be done with it.
I'm not a Polson hater. I think
coming
from a West Jessamine High School and all of a sudden being, you know, where he's been at Kentucky, he's actually, for me, he is the one of the few Kentucky-based recruits or players who've actually panned out.
He was actually a very pleasant surprise.
I mean, you
year.
Look at like people like Josh Carrier, who was apparently supposed to be a sharpshooter, and they never panned out. John Hood,
absolutely,
Mr. Basketball.
John Hood.
Polson has panned out to my expectations.
The kid from Elizabethtown.
Derek, you're talking about Derek Willett?
No, that was about, gosh, at this point, 10 years ago. Who was the kid from Elizabethtown that
won
the JUCO National Championship and was supposed to be so great, and he came in and was just – Antoine Barber.
Yeah. Irrelevant.
Right. And the little short kid that was the point guard in state.
And this makes my point about Polson is that he's exceeded expectations.
Right.
All these Kentucky-based players. But here, some other things I want to look at. How many freshmen start? And I say this because the question is Willie Cauley-Stein and Alex Borthwick? You don't have Kyle Wilcher. You know John Hood. You know Polson shouldn't start. So how many freshmen start? I mean, Cal has said before, I believe, that five freshmen can start, maybe four. I mean, you're talking about the Harrison twins. You have James Young, who could also start. You have Julius Randle, who could start. That doesn't even talk about Marcus Lee or Dakari Johnson. So how many freshmen actually start? I think that will be key. You have to have Alex Poitras, and you have to have Cauley-Stein exert themselves this year if they're going to go to a national championship, if they have a sniff at 40-0.
I think Cauley-Stein has a good chance of starting. I don't think Poitras will start at the beginning of the year because I think that will be what Cal will use as motivation for Poitras.
Can he be sixth man of the year if he doesn't start? And this is more a transy question than the blue-white scrimmage, because that's obviously everyone on that team plays for Kentucky, but
I think he can be. I mean, it's going to come down to him. It's all going to be what's in his head. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that was Poitras' biggest problem last year. A lack of confidence, but I think he came into college basketball not really understanding.
He was a beast to start the season, a beast.
And then when he ran into some stiffer competition, I just think that it kind of shook him up a little bit. Mm. But I think that Cal will probably bring him off the bench as a motivational tool to say, hey, if you want to start, show me why you should start. Because I've just brought in six McDonald's All-Americans who are ready to go. Yeah. And if you want to start, if you want to be a starter on this team, show me why I should start you. And, I mean, on this team, it doesn't really matter if you're a starter or not. But I think you could easily see four freshmen start this year. And if five freshmen started this year, I would not at all be surprised. But I do think Cauley-Stein will probably start at center.
Yeah,
and
he's probably more polished.
Yeah, and just bring in Dakari off the – I think they're two different kind of player. I think Willie had problems offensively last year. But everything I've read so far about Dakari Johnson, he's more of a space eater. He's a shot blocker. He's a rebounder. I think he takes more pride in his defense. At this point in his career, and I think his offensive game will become more polished. Yeah, as he moves along in college, and I think he said that as much himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just based on that alone, Willie can run the court. I mean, he's very smooth out there in a full court kind of game, and I think that might be what gets him the starts here and early in the season, and we'll just see as it goes on. But yeah, four freshmen will probably start on this.
Well,
team.
And he's kind of raw anyways. I mean,
Willie,
the guy who played football and tennis and everything. I mean, Cal said he hardly saw his high school basketball games when he recruited him. So I think you're absolutely right there. I see Alex Poythress possibly playing the Darius Miller role, not as a senior, as a sophomore, but being that sixth man, occasional start, and being a lightning rod. And that gets to my last question about basketball, as we're on the eve, on the cusp of basketball season with this blue-white scrimmage in the first exhibition game on Friday. Which Alex Poythress are we going to see?
I hope we see a different one than we saw last year. I've not been as frustrated with a UK player as I was with Alex Poythress last year in a long time. I couldn't even think back to who that would have been. He has all the talent in the world. I think Cal was more impressed with him than any other player, any other freshman that came in last year. I think Poythress was the one that Calipari kind of thought was going to be just a beast from the start. And for whatever reason, it just didn't happen. I mean, I almost kind of think that Poythress had it so easy in high school, and maybe he did not play against a level of talent that was going to get him ready. I mean, he played in, Clarksville, Tennessee. I don't know what their schedule is like wherever he went to high school, but
I don't think Tennessee is a bastion of high school basketball.
It's not. It's not. And I just don't think he was ready for the kind of competition that he was going to play, you know, game in, game out. I hope that he has learned. I hope he realizes. I hope he worked this offseason. I mean, we think about Wilcher from between his freshman year and sophomore year. It almost seems like Kyle Wilcher
didn't
even pick up a basketball, didn't lift weights one day.
No.
And you saw what the result of that was. He's out of here. Hopefully Alex Poythress learned from that and just listened to his coaching staff, realizes what he needs to do. I mean, look, he was a freshman, and I think we've kind of gotten an unrealistic expectation of what freshmen are supposed to be.
Agree.
Because, I mean, if they come back for their sophomore year, it's almost like they're a failure. And you have to remember, I mean, Alex Poythress, is he even 20 years old yet? Hopefully the kid learned, worked hard. I mean, he could have been a lottery pick if he came out last year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as unbelievable as that seems. But hopefully, you know, we'll just see some improvement in his game. Any improvement at all, and it's going to be a huge plus to this team.
I agree wholeheartedly. A couple quick hits I want to get to that will span the spectrum of football and basketball.
Excuse me.
Whoa. Number one. Shane Bohannon, I think, completely is reinstated by the game.
Yeah, he's back. He's back.
Patino has already alluded to that in Owensboro this year, so that's kind of a joke. You can't believe anything Rick Patino says.
He's not going to defend his national championship without Shane Bohannon.
No, not at all. But he will play all these other players until the point that he needs Bohannon, and Bohannon will be back on the team. Number two, Clint Hurt. We didn't get to this last week because we usually tape early in the week. Absolutely think it's hilarious that this is the only guy who gets a show cause penalty is not out of college athletics. Kelvin Sampson, any of these other players you want to – Chip Kelly, any of these other guys, Clint Hurt gets to continue to recruit. I think because he's essential to the University of Louisville football in terms of recruiting and coaching, and it just shows you more than anything else, the one thing that matters at University of Louisville is winning, not anything else.
Right.
They can have all their little sayings or values, honesty, respecting women. At the end of the day, all you care about is winning, and that's why Clint Hurt is still coaching.
Right. Oh, I couldn't agree more. The clout of Tom Jurich. He feels that he can make these kind of decisions.
Why isn't he president of the university? He's practically president of the University of Louisville. He does whatever he wants.
Maybe he's the de facto behind-the-scenes shadow president.
He's the absolute no one challenges him. Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe they shouldn't, but no one challenges him. Tom Jurich runs that university. Absolutely. And Clint Hurt, for not getting a pay raise, not being able to recruit, everything, it's all garbage.
If they weren't getting ready to make a major move, you know, next year into the ACC, if it was just going to be status quo for the next few years,
he'd be gone.
He'd be gone. But, yeah, I mean, they know that this is a crucial time for them, and the last thing they need is a little shake up, especially a guy like him, you know, with the job that he has. So that's exactly what happened.
One last thing, SEC East in football, we're not a contender in it, but totally shaken up. South Carolina upsets Mizzou. Complete circus on that end of the thing. Yeah. That was a great game, by the way.
Yes.
I thought Mizzou actually could take the lead. I thought they could be the Texas A&M. And they still are, technically. Texas A&M didn't win the SEC West last year. But very interesting in SEC football to see how that pans out. Maybe Kentucky can play spoiler. That's their best hope. Maybe preventing Vanderbilt or Tennessee from making a bowl game. That's their best hope. But other
Long
than that,
odds.
Other
Long
than
odds.
That, college football, I'm non-SEC. I'm a firm believer in famous Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
I mean, Florida State is legit. But other than that, we're transitioning to basketball season. The women's team is pretty good, too, ranked number eight, I believe. Yeah. They have a tough schedule. So we're going to be transitioning to basketball. We're not going to completely ignore football, but 2-10 season, what can you talk about? What can we talk about?
Right, yeah.
40-0 is what we're looking for.
Exactly,
to.
Exactly.
So anything else left out there that we haven't touched?
Well, keeping with basketball, we may have a very special podcast coming up soon.
Oh, really?
Yes. Little recruiting news for all of our fans out there. I have a friend, crazy IU fan.
Is that his name?
That
his
is,
given name? His Christian name?
That's the name I'm going to give him. Who told me over the weekend that if UK were to land both James Blackman Jr. and Trey Lyles, which almost appears to be a lock to me. I mean, I can't imagine that.
Was this guy inebriated when he made this?
He is inebriated, I'm going to say, 70 to 80% of his waking hours.
Wow.
He told me that if both of those guys signed with UK, he will kiss my ass live on podcasts. So
if he does that, I'm going to put the mic right up to his lips. I'm just letting you know.
I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I would love to see both of those guys sign with us, but I'm not sure how fired up I am about that going down in here or anywhere for that matter. But
it's huge studio.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It's
going
to be pretty personal.
It's an enclosed space. Yeah,
but I feel like the listeners of the podcast would love to hear
it. It might
be
kind of exciting. We might go to a video podcast just for that day only.
We're online. The FCC can't regulate
this. This is true. We can do whatever we want. We can do whatever we want. But that gauntlet has been
laid down.
Laid down.
I really hope that happens. I mean, really.
I want those guys to sign because, I mean, you know, I we'll see if he's a man of his word.
Crazy IU fan, I hope you're a man of your word.
We need to have Crazy IU fan on the show as a guest.
So we can tell him how bad his team's going to be this year?
Yeah, well, he's about as delusional as any IU fan that you could ever find. I think he went over IU's schedule earlier, and he's got some high expectations for the Hoosiers this year. So we might have him on the show just to break down IU's schedule one day
and laugh at him.
Yeah, it might make for some good.
You think you're gonna win that game?
might make for some good show. Might make for some good show. So you can look forward to that.
Well, maybe. On that note, we're gonna end on this guy proposing to kiss your ass,
right?
Because I don't know how else to end the show.
Yeah, I mean, what else is there? Let's end.
Let's go, Cats. We're done.
Yeah.